Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us in the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is the one and only, the producer, the main man with perfect hair, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And his sidekick, our friend.
With more perfect hair.
With more perfect hair, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow. You know, thank you for joining us in the Extra Hour. If you missed the first hour, you want to definitely get the first hour. Don't forget that after our program is over, you can catch VFN Radio on a 24-hour loop. So, and then, of course, we have the highlights on the torch. And you can also access VFN Radio on your app. And you can choose between the first hour, second hour. You have so many different options. But you don't want to forget and you don't want to miss some of the things that we talked about. We talked about Fiscal Cliff and Hobby Lobby being one of the first largest companies in the nation to take a stand. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my goodness, it's just so encouraging. I'm just kind of so proud of those guys. But you can join. You can join wherever you are. Just begin to take a stand for God and begin to take a stand for our constitutional rights in our country. And we've just finished up in the first hour, finished up talking about who loves God. Mm-hmm. And then we wound up talking about the thankful sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, it's just amazing how it just so fits and just what God is saying there, because, you know, this is the way to love God. Yeah. This is the way to love God. And we love God by obeying his teachings. We love God by giving him our heart in full obedience. And we want to share with you a segment. We want to share a segment because maybe you were listening today and you were thinking, you know what? In reality, I come to find out that maybe I wasn't loving God, that maybe I was giving God a lot of lip service, and maybe I just have a lot of religion and I just do a lot of stuff, but I'm not obeying God from my heart. I don't have true obedience in my heart towards God. I don't have a heart that obeys him. And maybe, you know, you don't fall under condemnation. Just fall under conviction. You can always change. You can always repent. But it's not over. It's not over. And I want to play a segment for you here in the Extra Hour that has aired before on VFN Radio, but it's called Don't Let Your Past Determine Your Future Service for God. You know, so many times you think, oh my goodness, you know, I know I did. I thought, oh, when I first came to God, I said, look at all of these perfect people. God can never use me. You know what I'm saying? I was happy. I was literally, I'll never forget this, I was happy to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, I just want to serve, and I still do.
Literally, I remember the blue jacket.
Yeah, oh, hey. I think that blazer still fits, no. right. But listen, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, that doesn't disqualify you. Probably makes you even, in some cases, more qualified, because you know what? If you've truly repented and received the Lord's forgiveness, you're mm-hmm. able just to relate with so many people. You got to come to a place where, you know, you realize that you needed a Savior, mm-hmm. that you needed a Savior. And God wants to use you. God's raising up a spiritual army. God's raising up loved ones. He's raising up ministers, servants of God. That's all that means. Those that are willing to lay their lives down for Jesus and be willing to give their life to save a world. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen up and be encouraged. Maybe this is for you. Listen up.
Paul was killing the church. Mm-hmm. You know, his name was Saul before he was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he was having the church stoned. He was arresting them. He was persecuting the church. And how many people would have said, well, there's no way. I mean, that person is just can't be used. I mean, he was so against the church and against the body of Christ that when he did get saved, he was on his way, on his high horse, going to, you know, Damascus to persecute Christians. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knocks him off his high horse. A big bright light shows up. It just glazes over his eyes. You know, it dries out his eyes like fish scales. It's so bright. Mm. You know, I'm sure he's thinking, this is probably not good. I mean, this is before bright headlights or halogen lights on any other horse.
Yeah, right.
This is like they're not the kind of light around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls to the ground, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, to speak against the body of Christ in a wrong way is to speak against Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's why we're for the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not for the spirit that says that it's against the words of God. And he said, I think I messed up, Jesus. But he was so dedicated towards bringing destruction to the church when Ananias was sent to the house to go pray for, you know, Saul. Ananias is going, hello?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know who this man is? Mm-hmm. Don't you understand who he is? I mean, he's been trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to kill church. He was on his way. He had his whole crew heading our way to kill us. Right?
Yeah.
Had a letter from the high dude in the high church. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, shut up and go do what I told you to. No, he just said, go ahead, pray for him. He shows up, there he is, just like God said, blind. Prayed for him and said, let me show you some, the Lord's going to show you some things that you must suffer for him, and changed his name from Saul to Paul.
Mm.
But see, they were scared of, I mean, listen, God, you could take the, you, believe God to win the most horrific dude in your community. The most wildest woman in your community, because they're the ones that are going to do some awesome things for God. They're not going to be this religious mindset trying to worry about what the hair looks like while they're going for God, or, you know, they're perfectly ironed clothes and stuff that we're talking about in the first part of this hour, or what Pharisees think about them. It reminds me to think about one of the men that Steve Hill, with Steve Hill's ministry, Together in the Harvest, had won to the Lord, and he was like a Hell's Angel type dude. And he was in the bathroom with other people in the commercial bathroom or whatever, and they're using the restroom, washing their hands or what. He's washing his hands, and some man comes in there and begins to cuss God's name. I mean, it just got all over this tough dude who loves Jesus. I mean, you're talking about my Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so he said, you better knock it off. If you don't knock this off, he says, I'm going to put your head in that toilet. You don't talk about my Jesus like that.
Mm.
Yeah, he wasn't worried about anything, was he?
Mm.
And, of course, a few moments later, Steve was saying, can't do this. Get his head out the water. You know, they're not worried about that. They're just like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And that's how Saul was, which became Paul. Mm. He was willing to go into a city. Oh, my goodness. There's so many excuses in the body of Christ, and the most of them is about convenience, comfort, and money.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was so radical that he could walk into a city like Ephesus when there's nothing but demonic worship, you know, idol-making Diana things going on, a big, huge port city, big metropolis-type city that we would think of today.
Mm.
And he began to believe God, that God could move in that city. He was the first one to show up in that city, Ephesus, and began to just explode with the truth of God.
Mm.
One man, one city, totally dark, he carried the light. Why? Because he was a man that just needed to be touched by God. Yeah, he was a wild man, but you understand, God used that wildness.
Mm-hmm.
He loved God. And he was willing to say, I am all yours. I mean, he was willing to suffer. I mean, when a word came out that said that, whoever has this belt is going to be bound in Rome, he's like, psh.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, I have no problem suffering.
That's why
for
I'm
God.
Going.
That's why I'm going. You just got tapped into what I already know already.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go, oh, my goodness, I must not go because I will get less of a paycheck. It's like, he's like, oh my goodness, my union might fire me. Are you serious? My wife won't let me go. Oh my goodness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? My children, they're in the 10th point 8th grade, and I just don't want to remove them from this wonderful godly education system of America to go obey the Lord and move into a city to be able to plant the church.
Right.
Are you serious? Come on. I'm not talking about just maverick, wild, and rebellious. I'm talking about so wild and so radical that you do what God says, and you're totally out of the fear of God submitted to his love and leadership in your life. Listen, you can win cities for God. We're looking for men and women who are break loose from the religious, pharisaical, sadduceical mindsets, the religious bondage of our nation that'll say, you know what? I believe God. Everything that God says I can do and he can do through me can happen. The book of Acts is not a history book. It's an operations manual. This is how the church is supposed to act. This is what God does. I mean, either God is God or he's not.
All right.
I mean, you need to ask this question to yourself. Either God is God or he's not. And he is God. Either God can or he can't. You got to ask yourself, by the way, he can. But if you don't have the right answers to these two questions, you're going to be held captive.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God loves you, no matter where you are in this equation. But understand, we're looking for a few who will stand up like Paul, who will stand up like Peter, who will stand up like James, who will stand up like Billy Graham, who will stand up like Amy Semple McPherson, who will stand up like John Paul Jackson, or stand up like Steve Hill, or stand up like John Kilpatrick, stand up like Michael Brown. Who in this generation is going to stand up like a Pat Robinson, or stand up and say, you know what, all this crew has served their generation well, but where are you to serve this generation? We're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for you. You're going to have to bust out. There's a birthing process, and you can't do it alone. But listen, we're looking for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of Gideon's army. I mean, think about Gideon's army. What are the qualifications? The weakest and least likely.
That's right.
Check.
check.
The things that are not to nullify the things that are.
That's right.
Check. Think about it. The weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Check.
What does one weak man say to another weak man? Let's pray. If you don't have that let's pray mindset, you don't realize how weak you are yet.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's so funny, Pat and I look at each other and just stare. Nothing's happening over here. You got an answer coming? No. We need to pray. And God comes through. It's amazing, isn't it?
Every time.
Which confirms, check. I mean, think about it. Like right now, as we're speaking, a former Marine, if there is a former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, Stephen Kalaszewski, who served two tours of duty in Iraq. He defended us. He fought for us. He laid down with his brothers his freedom to go fight for our freedom for a time in the United States Marine Corps. And now he comes back and he begins to wonder what life's about, and he cries out to God, and God meets him. You can go to the VFN Torch and hear his testimony. Marine encounters God. It was a powerful, powerful Saul-like transformation as he cried out to God, and God showed up so powerfully that he had to pause for a moment and think, oh, he's real now? I feel him, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, right.
Hello? Is that you, God? And he went through the process because he knew that I needed to get rightly related, and I needed to get connected, and I needed to be discipled. I need to know the ways of Jesus. And then I want to be trained up and go through VFNU, and I want to have family around me because we're called to be family and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And he decides to join Gideon's army. And today, as we speak, today, because he responded to the call that I'm talking to you about right now,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is about to be blessed.
That's right.
Why? Because he's being the first. Mm-hmm. He's the first to carry what this generation's going to do for God. Listen, what you're seeing primarily in America is what the past generation has done, and that is so cool, and it is God. You need to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, there's a new wind blowing across this nation. Everything that's been before is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And to be frank with you, a lot of people just need to let go and let God.
Right.
As Chuck Pierce said, that we're being held captive because we won't let go of what God's wanting to take control of in his church,
mm-hmm.
the government of the church. And because Steve listened, because he said, yes, here I am, God, send me. I mean, he was willing to go and fight for your freedom, and now he's willing to fight for the freedom of those in Pittsburgh. He's going to plant a church in Pittsburgh to tell them about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's already gone and spied out the land. You got to hear it. You got to hear the stories of what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting. It's not about what religion's made it out to be. Listen, I mean, Easter is so important about what happened that day, but listen, it's more than an Easter play. Every single day of your life should be filled with great excitement and expectation and abiding with him and launching out and going into new cities. I mean, you're going to spend eternity either regretting not doing this or dreading what you did instead or celebrating gratitude, thinking, I'm so glad I did not waste one moment of that because this life is so short.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have all of eternity to think about it. And nothing truly satisfies, you know it is, other than obeying God, living in God's presence. We're created for his presence. We were made to love him. And loving him is obeying him.
All right.
But he empowers us to be able to love him and to go this out. So here he is, this Marine, now he's in Gideon's army, headed to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Big old U-Haul truck, car being pulled behind it. To plant a church. Why? Because he's like Paul. He's like Paul. He said, here I am, right? Like Isaiah, right. Send me. I believe, God, that you can win Pittsburgh. That you love the people of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you want me to tell them that you love them and you have a plan for your life. And you want me to preach your kingdom to them one by one. And you want me to begin to connect and relate. And those that believe, you want me to baptize them in the three rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And disciple them. What do you believe in God for? Another car?
Mm.
Another raise? A bigger cable package?
Mm-hmm.
A third relationship? Really, come on. Think about it. Live life on the edge of obeying God. This generation needs leaders. Listen, Gideon's army's qualifications, read about Gideon. Gideon was sitting in a wine press, eking out a living because everybody, the entire nation, was under great oppression. Welcome to the future.
Mm.
And an angel shows up and sees him. He was hiding in the wine press because the Midianites would come in, and that name means strife,
mm-hmm.
would come in, and every time they would get something going, they would steal it and stomp on it and take their stuff and things, and people were hiding in caves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And God was about to move powerfully. I mean, it looked like it was just terrible. How could this be? How could God about to move? And Gideon is hiding. He's not in a wine press because it's a good place to work. He's there because so the Midianites won't see him working so he can get some wheat for his family to go feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then God sends a messenger, and I really believe right now you're hearing me, I'm your messenger. And he looks at Gideon the weakest and the least likely. Mm-hmm. He's hiding from the oppression. He cannot live in, and he says, "Mighty man of valor." Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. Who is this man?
Right.
That's basically what he's saying. Is like, listen, I don't want to hear any more about this old time religion. I don't want to hear historically what happened in your generation. The question I have for you, what's going to happen in our generation?
Right.
What happened in your generation does me no good. It saves no one in this generation. Who's going to rise up? Who's going to be the Gideon in this generation? Who's going to obey the plans of God? Who's going to say, I know what you did, and I know it worked in your generation, but now more people are leaving God than coming to him. Everything's upside down in the church.
Right.
There's great stress and oppression. Gross darkness is covering the face of the earth. And you're eking out 11. And I'm saying, mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of virtue. Mm-hmm. We can do this. The same God of past generations is still God today. We've been looking for you. But listen, there's very few Marines, not a lot of Marines. They call them the tip of the spear. When they sign their papers to get in, they say, listen, you know, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. That's what they say. And what an awesome thing. That's why you admire Marines, what they're willing to do. The tip of the spear for our freedom.
Right.
And all of our military forces. But you know what? When you join the army of God, the spiritual army of God, not physical army. When you join this army of God, you got to sign the papers. I mean, if you've tried to join the army of God and you haven't signed these papers, you're whining a lot. Because you find out every day your life's being demanded from you. Your schedule's being demanded from you. What you want's being demanded from you. It's like a dead man, a dead woman doesn't even complain about it. Like, it's going to cost me this, it's going to cost me that. It's like, you haven't enlisted yet. Oh, you didn't read the small print.
Right.
And it's miserable being tied between two opinions. You got to decide what you're going to do. Is it not important for us to be the Billy Grahams of our generation? Is it not important for us to be the Coach McCartneys of our generation? I mean, who's going to do it? Who is going to be the man? Who's going to be the woman? Listen, break all that stuff. Mindsets are saying that you got to be attached to what was. It's time to be attached to what is. God is doing a new thing. You will not be able to even imagine what God's about to do on the earth. He's about to do something so powerful. There's going to be a wave, a tidal wave of awesomeness. Yes, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but it's going to be the best of times for the church. The church is going to rise to its occasion. Whether America stands or falls, the church is going to rise to its most awesome harvest it's ever seen. But the question is, are you going to join the ranks? Quit blaming everybody. It's your choice. It sounded good when you blamed everybody for not enlisting in the army, but the truth is, it's your choice. Are you going to be the ones who write about what happened because you go with Jesus? Or are you going to be the ones that read about what happened because you got to wait for them to send you the book because you chose not to go with them?
Right.
Some people write about it, and most people read about it. We're looking for a few good, humble, willing Sauls.
Yeah.
That understands we need God. And read Judges chapter 7. You can see it was a journey for Gideon.
Yeah.
But it started with, okay, I'll do it. What's so cool about this is we've been preparing for you for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. The apostolic foundation has been laid. And so we've put these things together for what took us a season of sowing and harvesting and learning and hearing and precept upon precept. I mean, I go back and I look and Vine Fellowship Network University. I go back to see some of these revelations that God has given us that's waiting for you to taste and see this good. And I'm amazed because it's been like one continual prophetic word utterance that just continued to come and come and come and come. It's not what religion has made it out to be. I stand amazed because you understand prophecy is the person who's prophesying. They're not that word. God is using them to speak that word out, and they can end up taking notes on themselves because they're thinking, oh my goodness, that didn't come from me. That can't. God's doing something. Mm-hmm. He's doing something. And I look back and say, my goodness. But the question is, are you going to turn to politics? Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn to religion? Are you going to turn to a relationship? Are you going to join the army of God and say, you know what? I want to be that person this generation. This generation is worth giving my life for. God gave his life for me, his son's life for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my life for him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to love God because he says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friend. Everybody wants to keep it. They say, really? Mm-hmm. Lay it down. Lay it down. If that's you, if that's you this morning, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org, and check out. It's happening. You can go to greglancasterministries.org, and you can see everything that's happening in the context of that. God's doing many things across the earth, and this is just one of the things that he's doing. But if I'm talking to you and you're listening to me, nothing happens by accident. Mm-mm. It's time to respond. We're looking for a few good men. Actually, a few humble men, because the only one is good is God. He just wants his goodness to come through you. Find out more at greglancasterministries.org. Vine Fellowship Network University. It's, I just can't, it is amazing. When you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path, depending on your time, and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God, maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city. But I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out. VFNU.org. VFNU.org. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now. 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the wisdom moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFN facebook.com/VFNTV.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. I'm John Ramos, and wow, what awesome. Don't let your past determine your future service of God. Yeah. Listen, it's time to get in the game. It's time to stop sitting on the sidelines and sitting in a chair in the pew and whatever. Just whatever. Listen, it's time to get active in the harvest and to believe that God is not done with you yet.
That's right.
I mean, my goodness, Saul was just killing the Christians. I mean, he didn't did a turnaround.
I mean, if anybody wasn't qualified. Yeah, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It ain't over. It ain't over. Be a part. Listen, I mean, how much time do we have left? And you and I were talking about this the other day, Pat. She's like, how much longer do we have? How much longer do we have? We don't know. Mm-hmm. Listen, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. Mm-hmm. All you have is today. Oh yeah, 2012 just blew by us. Mm-hmm. Don't let another year go by you without you saying, you know what, God, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I'm not going to let the past define who I am, who I'm going to be, and what I'm going to do for you. I'm just going to receive your forgiveness. I'm going to receive your love, and I'm going to live the rest of my life as a thank you, a sacrifice, and the sacrifice of obedience.
That's right.
You know? I think about, you know, as we're talking about this in the extra hour, because we're coming to the end of the extra hour, actually the last half of the extra hour. Let's think about Manasseh, you know, and Second Chronicles 33. I tell you, you know, he was Hezekiah's son. And listen, just because parents do right, you know what I'm saying? just because parents are doing the right thing, this is no guarantee. There's no guarantee that your children are going to do the right thing. You know what you hear when people just put everyone in a box? It's like, listen, everyone has to make their own choice. Everyone has to choose to serve God. Everyone has to choose this. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, Manasseh has some issues. You know, Manasseh was a son of Hezekiah, and he did very evil in the eyes of the Lord. You know, he reigned for 55 years. Talk about the patience of God.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, do you realize how lucky you are to be alive right now? You know what I'm saying? You know, you haven't been dealt, you have gone a long time. You know what I'm saying? You got a long time getting away with that. You know,
right.
Careful. Well, in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 3, just listen to some of the stuff he got into. he rebuilt the high places of his father, right? His father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to Baal and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to the starry host. He sacrificed his sons in the fire in the valley of Bethanum. Mm. He practiced sorcery and divination and witchcraft and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. I mean, there's more. You can keep going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so Manasseh was just, he did just evil everywhere.
He was,
I mean,
he was a bad dude.
Yeah, man, he didn't kick the door down. He just said, I'm just going to get in it all, mm. you know, and just the depths of evilness. Well, verse 10, listen to this. In the midst of all this evilness, in verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Mm. Listen, God is sending his messengers. He's sending his servants out to talk to so many people about, listen, it's time to get right with God. You don't want to fall into the trap like Manasseh did. And many people are blowing off God. They're blowing off God's messengers. They're ignoring them. They may not be rude about it, but they'll say, oh, okay, you know, I'm just not ready. Mm-hmm. You're not ready to bow down to God?
Right.
You're bowing down to something, but you're not ready to bow down to God?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know that this very day your life could be taken from you. This very day.
That's right.
But Manasseh ignored God, right? He ignored the warning. This is what happens in verse 11. This is what happens when you ignore God, okay? So the Lord brought against him the army commander of Syria, and they took Manasseh prisoner. Check this out, Pat. Listen to Chris. Mm-hmm. They took Manasseh prisoner and put a hook in his nose and bound him with shackles and took him to Babylon. I mean, God's like, look. And you know what? And we're talking about the merciful discipline of God. You know, so sometimes things that look bad, God has a way of getting our attention. God has a way of getting, you know, to the core of it. Mm. And it's interesting how much evil can be done by one person. I mean, look what Manasseh did. He served false God. He got into sorcery and witchcraft and worship of stars. He sacrificed. He killed his own son. Mm-hmm. Sons.
Right.
I mean, you think about the 50 million abortions that have been done already in this nation. I mean, it's just like child sacrifice.
Yeah.
He just did evil in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. But Manasseh, verse 9, led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray so that they did more evil in the nations than the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. I mean, they were like they were worse than the worst of sinners. It's mm-hmm. like, dude, what is going on here? What is going on here? And I think about God's amazing mercy. Mm-hmm. Because this may not seem like mercy. But here God sends an Assyrian over and says, listen, I tried talking to you. I tried helping you out, Manasseh. I tried to warn you. And I think about so many times in someone's life, how many warnings does God give to dreams? It sends one messenger, another messenger, another messenger, another messenger. It's like, at what point, America, at what point are we going to respond to those that the Lord has sent? At what point? And so now Manasseh finds himself in captivity with a hook in his nose. He finds an army quintoli against him and his people. He's in bronze shackles and he's taken captive in Babylon. And you think that is harsh. No, listen. Well, harsh is God could have just killed him.
Yeah.
He could have been death. That's harsh.
Yeah.
God, you know, but he paid him no mind. And it's like, look, you know, God loves you enough. God loves you enough to get your attention. And God loves us enough to punish us and to allow tough and difficult things to happen to us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in American society, love has been so twisted. You know, the definition is like, it's just been so just warped. Mm-hmm. I mean, many parents today don't want their children to suffer hardship. They don't want their children to experience pain. Oh, no. They call them helicopter parents because they hover around their children. Oh, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. Oh, don't touch that. Oh, let me rescue them. Mm-hmm. Oh, just give them more money. Give them more money. I don't want them to suffer. Everything's got to be fair. Everything's got to be fair. And although their children have ignored their calls to change, to stop doing this stuff, to get things right and to repent, they didn't answer their parents. You know, but how many parents are rescuing their kids because they're not letting them come to the end of themselves? Right. Well, let me tell you something. God has no problem, no problem allowing Manasseh to suffer and allowing others to come through some kind of straightening, some trials and situations, suffering some pain to get us where we need to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, here Manasseh sitting in prison. He's shackled. He was totally taken down, arrested. He's in captivity. And there's nothing like an experience, nothing like a trial, nothing like pain and suffering to wake you up from a life of sin. I mean, I believe the Bible says that he who suffers in his body is through his sin. I'm like, oh,
that's
I'm
right.
Done. I'm done.
You that's know, it.
This is me tapping out. You know what I'm saying? Uncle, this is me. Watch my hand. I'm
done.
Out.
I'm finished.
Get me out of this. But he who suffers in his body is through his sin. Why would we have to suffer? We're talking about the mercy of discipline. The mercy of discipline. So what was the result? You know, some in our maybe American society will look at, oh, that's just so harsh. God's just so harsh. Well, what was the result of this harshness? In verse 12, the word tells us that in his distress, in Manasseh's distress, he sought the favor of the Lord.
Oh, imagine that.
His God now, his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Listen, when Manasseh's sitting up in jail, in shackles, and he has the chance to come to the end of himself, he says, wow, I think I'm done. There's two things that he did. He sought the favor of God. He sought out God. He sought out how to get things right with God. He just went out and said, listen, God, I got to fix this. And he humbled himself greatly. I mean, this is the key. God has a way of bringing us to this point where we realize that, you know what? I don't think that I need to suffer anymore. I don't think my family needs to suffer anymore.
Right.
And I think I need to turn to you. This is mercy. And you know, Manasseh probably thought that this could never happen to him. That's the thing. When you keep going further and further away and you don't connect the consequences to your sin, or you just kind of ignore, you don't make that connection, you think, oh, this can't happen to me. But pride has a way to continue to darken you. You know, sin has a way, just pride and sin. It's
right,
just like
blinds
you become delusional. You become delusional towards God. I'll never get caught. This will never catch up to me. But Manasseh found out something different. You know what I'm saying? He found out something different. Two things happen. You know, many people today are suffering hardships and trials and torments and bad situations, but they're not making the connection that this is a result of not having God in their life or as a result of their sin. I mean, many people are suffering greatly today. I mean, great. Their family are going through horrific things. And never is there a connection. It's like, you know, do you think that maybe, possibly, because we've raised our fist towards God, we've ignored his ways, that we're reaping some of the ramifications of that? You have to be willing to connect the dots. And if somebody is helping you to connect the dots, a wise man, a wise woman, the Bible says, gives thought to their ways. You got to give thought to your ways. This is both the saved and the unsaved. I mean, not saying that every trial is, of course, because of sin, but certainly we should ask ourselves, Lord, is this from you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you saying something?
Are you saying something to me if I'm lying in my bed of suffering? Is this from you? And they don't do this either because they don't recognize the hand of God is against them, or worse off, they credit the Assyrian army, not God who sent them. Mm. Like, you lost your job, you lost your house, you lost all, it's the bank's fault. It was just like, do you think maybe God has something to do with this? They credit the wrong person.
All right.
Listen, it wasn't the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army was God's instrument. It was God's tool, but it wasn't the Assyrian army. And we can't get that twisted. But it happens every single day. So they continue their pride. They continue into their rebellion until they go further down. Why go further down? Why come to the end of yourself? Why be, you know, broke, busted, and disgusted, as they say? Why suffer in your body greatly before you recognize and say, I think I'm going to tap out. God, I mean, Manasseh mm-hmm. was locked up in prison, had to lose everything mm-hmm. before he what? Sought the Lord and his favor, his God. Mm-hmm. Well, check this out. What was God's response to Manasseh seeking him out? So how did God respond to Manasseh? Here's Manasseh tapping out saying, God, mm-hmm. listen, I'm done with this life. As I come to the end of myself, I've greatly humbled myself before you. And you know what? I just want to get things right with you. This is what happens in verse 13. When he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty. Mm. That word means his earnest and sincerity. God saw that at the core of Manasseh's heart, he wasn't just having no jailhouse confession here, mm-hmm. but he saw that at the core of Manasseh's heart, he was truly broken for what had happened. And listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that God said, and listened to his plea. God listened to him. God was moved by his sincere repentance and coming to the end of himself. And so this is what God does. God brings him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. And the word of God says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. Manasseh loses everything, suffers, hook in his nose, shackles on his body, slammed up in a prison. And he was at a crossroads. Do I blame everybody else for my situation? Or do I come to the end of myself? Do I get right with God? Do I get sincere? God heard his plea, was moved with compassion, and says, Manasseh, I'm going to bring you back.
That's all.
I'm going to bring you back.
All he did.
Let me tell you something. If you're sitting in a prison situation today, you could be sitting in prison today. Mm-hmm. If you're going through a rough trial, man, if you're going through a tough situation and you're connecting the dots now and realize I'm in this situation because I've ignored God. Mm. I want to find God my own way. Boy, have I heard that before. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's only one way to God.
Right.
And we come to God on his terms, not on our terms. I mean, this is beautiful and amazing. It's just the mercy of the Lord. This is God's mercy. And you know what? God disciplines his children. You know, all God ever wanted from Manasseh was his heart.
That's right.
It's all he ever wanted. He allowed and punished and disciplined Manasseh so Manasseh can come to the end of himself, so Manasseh can be saved, and so that God can pour out and lavish his amazing love on him. There wasn't no payback involved. God wasn't looking for no retaliation. He heard his plea, and he opened his arms to him. And we can come to a point where we're grateful for God's love. And this is, you know, how do we tell? In Manasseh's case, you think about this. How do you tell if brokenness is real or if we're really sorry for what we did? How can you tell, you know? Because the Bible talks about, you know, godly sorrow. You know, some people are just sorrowful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. But how do you know that there's true sorrow here? It's because godly sorrow causes people to repent.
Right. Exactly right.
It causes people to repent. And so he just didn't have a jailhouse conversion. He got right. He was crying out. He wasn't crying out just because of the pain. He wasn't crying out because of the loss of his kingdom. He wasn't crying out because he lost his job. He wasn't crying out because he lost his kingship. He wasn't crying out because he lost his money. He wasn't crying out because he lost his wealth. He wasn't crying out because he lost his family. He wasn't crying out because he lost his reputation. He wasn't crying out because he lost his status and no one, everyone despised him. He wasn't crying out because he lost his freedom.
Yep.
He was crying out because he needed God. And some people are just, they're crying out because I'm in trouble. Now I'm suffering. You got to find out the real deal. You got to be willing to address the real cause of whatever it is that you're going through. And you can choose. There's sorrow.
That's right.
There is sorrow, but do you want a godly sorrow? Or are you sorrowing just because I got caught? And I just want to, I want to let this go away. I just want a Band-Aid to cover my pain, to cover my hurt, to cover my situation. No, God saw that he was earnest and sincere when he cried out to him. God, you know, but how do we know that? Because God saw his heart, saw his repentance. And Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. How do we know that? I mean, God saw his heart, but how do we know that Manasseh turned? How do we know that? Well, it produced fruit. This is one of the first things Manasseh did. Manasseh's fruit was what he did after he prayed to God.
Mm-hmm.
Proved that what he prayed was real. You know, everybody wants to come to Jesus when they got hurt. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yes, and Jesus is Lord, and I'm sorry, yeah. I repent. Now, what you going to do tomorrow?
Right.
What are you going to do next week?
All right.
What you do tomorrow and next week and next month determines if what you prayed was real.
Especially after the pain leaves.
Oh,
what's your response?
That's the true test.
That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest test. How many times have you talked to someone, you're discipling someone, you're counseling someone, and, you know, everybody wants Jesus when their pain is so real.
Mm-hmm.
But once it starts to lift, once people are coming around again,
mm-hmm.
once everything is being restored to normal, you know what? He's out of prison. He's like, okay, all right. The hook came out my nose. The hole is going away. That gaping hole in my nose is closing up. I've got my clothes back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Call him a king. He's like, okay, looking good, you know? And it's like, get everything. What are you going to do now? That's how you know what you're after. What kind of fruit? So listen to what Manasseh does in verse 15. It says, he got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image of the temple of the Lord. He started doing business, as well as the altars he had built on the temple hill in Jerusalem. And he threw them out in the city. And he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings. Manasseh got real. He said, "Hey, listen. This is. I'm gonna let my fruit speak for myself. I'm just gonna do the right thing, no matter what, and producing fruit in keeping with repentance. Repent means that we're turning away from a life of sin. We're turning away. We're loving God. We're obeying God. We're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We're doing the right thing. And." You know, he was granted mercies. The Lord, I started to think about this. He was granted mercies.
Mm-hmm.
The mercies of the Lord are new every single morning. Every day we start out with fresh and new mercies of God.
Every day.
And I need them.
I know you do.
Yes, you know I do. But listen, how often are the mercies of God not taken advantage of? Listen, you should take advantage of the mercies of God. What do you mean by that? God extends mercy so that we can take advantage of that mercy and change. God could have dealt with Manasseh from day one. And so many people have confused God's mercy as he's ignoring what's happened, or he's turned another cheek. No, God's not turning another cheek. He sees everything. Don't mistake God not acting today that he's winking at your sin. He's giving you time.
Mm-hmm.
Mercies are to be taken advantage of.
That's right.
How much mercy? Listen, you may be living in a state of mercy right now. You may be living in a state of mercy right now. Listen, take advantage of that mercy. The mercies of God are to produce change in our daily lives. We need to appropriate the mercies of God so that we can recognize that we're living in that season, so that we can change, we can repent, and we will not suffer the harms or the consequences. It's time. I mean, it's time to follow Manasseh, the second half, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's time to change. It's time to take a turn. And it's time to say, you know what? I'm going to appropriate the mercies of God. I'm going to appropriate the mercies of God.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, there's no distance you can fall away from God. As long as you're still breathing.
Yeah.
That God will take you back. He's just looking for humility.
Yeah.
And repentance.
Yeah.
And look what the guy did. I mean, can you imagine putting that on your resume? Trying to get a job. Man will just laugh you out of the place.
Right. But God.
Spit
you out.
But God.
But so, God.
He tears it up. He doesn't look at it. Okay. He chunks it. Just come on in.
Come
I'll
on
hire
in.
You.
I'll
take
you
back. And that's all.
Listen, that's, you know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I there's a lot of perfect people out there, you know, but, you know, until you've done some stuff, you know what I'm saying, that people will look at you differently.
What's the word say? He who sins much loves much.
Loves much. It's that heart of attitude, you know, it's that attitude of gratitude, that thankfulness that you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, you know what, God? If you get me out of this one,
I'm your.
You know, but yeah. Why be put in that position? You think, wow, that's so harsh. Why did God put a hook in his nose? Why did God shackle him?
Yeah.
Why did God send the Assyrian army, no less? I mean, and they drug him like an animal and put him in captivity. This is the king. I mean, God, couldn't you find another way to treat the king?
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe that's exactly what Manasseh needed.
Exactly what he needed. He knows exactly what we need to get our attention.
That's right.
He knows all our buttons.
That's right.
And Manasseh having to be a hook in his nose.
Yep.
Shackles on his feet.
Yep.
And drug off.
And the thing is, like, don't make God do it. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't make God do it. And you know your children, you tell them, now, if daddy has to get up, I don't want to have to get up now. Talk to you boys, you talk to you guys, or whoever it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like 30 times and trying to help you here. I'm trying to help y'all.
You know I warned you.
Trying to help y'all. We're trying to have a good time here, you know, but but I don't want to have to, but because I love you, I wish you didn't bring some correction and some, we need to bring things back to where they need to be. You know, today, if you find yourself in a trial, don't kick the trial. Don't despise what's happening. Don't look on surface that it was your job, it was your house, it was a setup. No. Maybe look a little bit deeper. Could this be the hand of God in your life? Is this God getting your attention? And when you have that encounter with God, when you allow yourself to go there, when the pain gets bad enough. You know, we talk about Cecil before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's two dogs, you know, on the porch, and two men are talking. And all of a sudden, as the guys are talking, you start to hear one of the dogs crying. Ow, ow.
Mm-hmm.
The man says, is that your dog? He says, oh, yeah, that's Cecil. He's crying.
Yeah.
So they keep talking.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
Yeah, he does it all the time. He keeps going a little bit more. And, ow, ow. It's like, dude, why is your dog crying? It's just loud wails. Oh, that's Cecil. He's just sitting on a nail. The guy says, he's sitting on a nail? Why doesn't he get up? And the guy looks back at him and says, well, it just doesn't hurt bad enough yet.
That's all right.
And there are a lot of people that are going through their situations and difficulties. It just doesn't hurt bad. You haven't come to the end of yourself. Listen, why get a hook in your nose? Why be taken off in captivity? Turn now and say, God, you know what? I'm going to completely turn. I'm going to seek you out with great humility. And I'm not going to come to you on my terms, but I'm going to come to you on your terms. Make Jesus today the Lord of your life and recognize the mercies of God so that you can change in the time that you have to change.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.